Welcome to Virtual Bible Academy's audio teaching of Disciple Making One, Abiding in His Word. This is Lesson 2, Prayer. It's pages 23 through 30. And it would help you learn more if you had the lesson in front of you. This is actually a short lesson, just 4 pages of teaching and 4 pages of review, questions, and answers. Now, my goal in this lesson is to help you really understand prayer. But not just understand prayer. My goal is to equip and encourage you to pray more often, more extensively, more thoroughly, and more spiritually. You're going to learn a lot about prayer. So let's get right to it. Page 23, Lesson 2, Prayer. You probably already know that you can find the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. So my question to you is, how many times do you think you've prayed it? My guess is it's many times. But do you know what the disciples asked Jesus first, just before he gave them that prayer? Look at page 23, and look at that verse just under the title. It's Luke 11:1. And it came about, while he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Well, let's pray it before we start this lesson. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will teach us to pray. We pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us to pray as we look at your word in this lesson. Lord, please teach us to pray. Amen. A pattern for prayer is clear in the teaching and examples of the Bible. That starts this lesson on page 23, that statement. There's teachings and examples in the Bible for prayer. And the pattern of prayer that's there is praise, thanksgiving, confession, and requests. And now all 4 of these don't have to be in every prayer. But I'll tell you, they should be included in our prayer lives. Praise, thanksgiving, confession, requests. Praise is because of who God is. Praising God exalts him, honors, and glorifies him. It is very important. It's a very important part of what our prayer should be. We are taught, Hebrews 13:15, to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. To offer up a sacrifice, continually, a sacrifice of praise to God. That's actually one of 6 sacrifices that we as believer priests should make. Now, helpful biblical examples of praising God can be found in the Psalms 144 through 150. And there's many examples of praise that can be found throughout all of the Psalms and in other books of the Bible. And why don't you try this? Try praising God all by yourself for, let's say, 20 or 30 minutes. In thanksgiving, praise is because of who God is. Thanksgiving is because of what he has done. God gives so much to us to be thankful for. And based on our request, and I can tell you, often he does it because he loves us and gives us even more than we ask for. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, Psalm 92:1. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. And one of the last days' sins, the signs of the last days, is a lack of thankfulness. Do you thank God as often and as long as you did to make your requests? And then confession, praise, thanksgiving, and confession. Confession is because of our sin. It is acknowledging, agreeing, and admitting that our sin is sin. And God has promised, and we need to meet the condition, 1 John 1:9, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's a great example of confession in Psalm 51. And David outlined the great blessings of forgiveness in Psalm 32. and unconfessed sin hinders our fellowship with God. So praise, thanksgiving, confession, and requests. Why should we make our request known to God? It's because He loves us. It's God's desire to meet our needs and give us the desires of our hearts. Psalm 37:4. We are instructed to let our requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. However, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. That's silly, isn't it? We don't have because we don't ask. Of course not. Or because we ask with bad motives. And spiritual needs are so much more important than our physical needs. Examples of both are found in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:9-13. So in your prayer life, prioritizing spiritual needs in your request, but including praise, thanksgiving, confession, and requests. Make them part of your prayer life. Don't have to be in every prayer, but they should be in your prayer life. Turn to page 24. Two things at the top there, the biblical emphasis in general and the specific example and teaching of Jesus. The men and women of the Bible were a people of prayer. Actually, outside of the Psalms, there are 600 prayers in the Bible recorded, and many statements of who prayed: Adam and Eve, men in the days of their son Seth, Moses, Hannah, Samuel, Daniel, Paul, and the last words of the Bible, those right near the end, Revelation 22:20, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Bible ends on that prayer. And we have the example and teaching of Jesus. He taught about prayer, and He demonstrated. Prayed at His baptism, prayed early in the morning, prayed all night, prayed for food, for Himself, for His disciples, and for us. And He prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And He's praying for us now, as is the Holy Spirit. The Bible is clearly a book of prayers and praying. We should be in step with the Bible. Pray like the men and women of the Old and New Testament. Pray like Jesus. It's a challenge to us. With such an emphasis on prayer throughout the Bible, we should commit ourselves to it, to learning how to pray more effectively and to praying. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity to talk with God. And the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray, Psalm 32:6. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. James 5:13. It's a privilege to pray. We have the opportunity to pray. We're commanded to pray, and we're invited to pray. Now, I'm going to ask you five questions. They're there on 24 and beyond that page. I want you to think about this. First question is, where should I pray? Where should you pray? Think about it. Where? Well, obviously, a religious building is a good place. Jesus referred to the temple as a house of prayer. But you know, you can pray anywhere. In the house of God today, it's us, the people. Christ was faithful over His house. Whose house? You are. It's us. So pray in a religious building, bricks and sticks, but just pray when you're together with other believers. No matter where you are, pray anywhere. Pray in spirit and in truth. But when you're in a group, don't pray to the crowd. Now, I don't mean you're going to pray to them specifically, but don't modify your prayer because you're in a crowd. You're not trying to impress them. Just be yourself, be honest, and talk to God. But also, pray in private. Here's a question, and I want you to be honest about it. Should you pray on your knees? Do you? Why not? If you don't, why not? Jesus knelt to pray. Daniel did. Paul did. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and prayed. Ezra was on his knees with outstretched hands, but wouldn't even look up at God. But Stephen, as he was martyred, prayed looking up into heaven. Some people stood. Some people faced the wall. There's all sorts of postures for prayer. Praying on your knees is a good one, but it's the posture of your heart that matters. But I'll tell you, your heart will be on its knees, in most cases, if your body is on its knees. Page 25. Whom should I pray to? Well, in all aspects of prayer, we should strive to follow the teaching and examples of Scripture. You know, you pray only to God, the true God. Don't pray to any dead Christians or statues or angels, and certainly don't pray to any false gods. There's one God, the triune God. We pray to God and God alone. And the pattern in the Bible, generally speaking, is to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus in the Spirit. That's how we should pray. Well, that's whom I should pray to, whom you should pray to. But what about the how? The how is really, in some ways, more important than the what of prayer. How should you pray? Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer. Pray it. Pray it and mean it. Daniel prayed for the people. David prayed for forgiveness. Jesus prayed, John 17. There's the example of a Pharisee and a publican praying, the difference. You see, biblical prayer is open and honest, pouring out of the heart to God. And there's many hows given in the Bible. I've listed some of those on page 25. Right in the middle, pray humbly. Don't demand things of God. God is under no obligation to answer you just because you say something. That's not biblical. God is not your servant. Pray humbly. And pray with a thankful heart, no matter what your circumstances are. Pray with sincerity, not by rote. Know what you are saying. Do you really mean what you say when you pray the Lord's Prayer? Think about it. Go back and look at that prayer. Pray, be sincere when you pray. Don't just say it again because you've said it before. And don't play games with God. Be open and direct. Just pour out your heart to Him honestly, openly, directly. Pray with devotion, great devotion. Be committed to it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What that means is have a continuing conversation with God. Talk to Him many times all day. Maybe at the end of prayer, instead of saying amen, say, talk to you in a few minutes. Be persistent. Keep at it. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Pray with great striving. It can be work. Jesus was that way when His sweat was like blood. Pray with simplicity. Think about Peter praying, Lord, save me. Don't be complicated. Don't think you have to use big, impressive words. Just talk to God. Be simple. And pray without wrath or dissension with other believers. Be righteous individually and as a group. Pray as one in unity with other believers. Pray with faith. I like the acronym for faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Pray with faith. Pray trusting. That doesn't mean if you muster up enough enthusiasm that God is obligated to do some certain thing you say. Trust God with your prayers and His answers. And huge condition, last one in that number 4 section on page 25, pray according to His will. Now, what should you pray for? It's a privilege to ask God for involvement in our lives. That should be treated seriously. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught His disciples to pray for their daily physical and spiritual needs. In John 17, Jesus prayed for Himself, His disciples, and for the world in very specific requests. And Jesus promised that the faithful prayer, fitting into His will, offered to the Father in His name, would be answered. Physical and spiritual needs. And ask that God fits you into His plans, not that He fits into your plans. Ask God to fit you into His plans, not Him into your plans. those listed at the bottom of page 25. Pray for wisdom. Pray for spiritual prosperity. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Pray for spiritual prosperity. Pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for healing. I've done that. God is not obligated to heal everyone. But I had 1,242 seizures, mid-range, serious seizures. God healed me. I believe in healing. Pray for it. Pray for each other. Pray for the government. Are you going to complain more about the government, or are you going to pray more for them? Pray for your food. Pray for those who need Christ. Pray by name. Pray for them every day. Pray that more laborers will be out in the fields proclaiming the gospel. Now, they're not your competitors. Remember, they are your co-laborers. Pray for open doors for the gospel. I was driving one night with a man that had been somewhat obnoxious and was actually smoking a cigar in my car. He was smoking, and he said, "Do you mind?" I said, "Yes, I'd prefer you not." He said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to smoke it anyway." And I was been praying for this man, his name was Joseph, praying for Joseph for weeks and actually months, and had other people praying for him. And I said, honestly prayed this silently as I was driving with my eyes open at night, my eyes open praying, "God, please, if you want me to talk to Joseph, even though I'm tired, even though I don't feel like it, but God, please," I really did this. I said, "God, if you want me to talk to him, please give me an opportunity. I'm really tired. I could do this some other time. But if you want me to talk to him about Jesus in the car," and Joseph interrupted me. Can you imagine my silent prayer? He interrupted my prayer for an opportunity. And this is what he said. He said, "John, when you look at the moon up there in the sky, does it make you wonder where you came from and where you're going? Pray for an open door for the gospel." I can tell you story after story after story where God has answered that prayer. Now, page 26, the last page here on the teaching part of this, is about denials and delays. God hears all of our prayers. And his answer could be yes, could be no. He could give us more than we ask for. Or it might be waiting. And here are some things about denials and delays that just to help you understand. Well, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. That's the first one. Not asking is a reason. If you don't ask God, you know, don't expect him to answer unprayed prayers. Or maybe you're asking for the wrong motive. James 4:3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures." Now, here's one for the men. It's about how a man treats his wife. The Bible teaches that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. Well, he gave his life for us, so that's the model of how you should love your wife. You should cherish her, be understanding of her, and honor her as an equal heir of the grace of life. And as 1 Peter 3:7 states, so that your prayers will not be hindered. You got hindered prayers? Maybe you should look at how you're treating your wife. Love her like Christ loves. Cherish her, understand her, honor her. An unforgiving spirit also hinders prayer, as does sin in our lives. Unrighteousness. We are to be clean before God. Clean up your life, and then your prayers accomplish much. The prayer of the upright is his delight, Proverbs 15:8. If one turns away from his law, even his prayer is an abomination, Proverbs 28:9. But also sometimes we get the wait answer, because he's protecting us, preparing us, perfecting us. And then there's also final delays. Some denials are final denials. Sometimes God says, as he did to Moses, as he did to Paul, it's no and stop asking. God wants us to pray. He wants us to praise God. He wants us to to thank God. He wants us to confess, and he wants us to make our request known because he loves us. Prayer is a phenomenal opportunity and privilege to talk to the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing God. So look at page 29 for these review questions. These are simple review to help you store some of this into your long-term memory so that you will not just know more about prayer, but you'll have that to draw on to pray as you should. Number one, what are the four primary elements of prayer? Praise, thanks, confession, and requests. And what's the difference between praise and thanksgiving? And give an example of each. Now, I can't give you the examples there for you, but praise is about who God is, and thanks is about what God has done or is doing. Be sure you make that distinction between the two. Thanking God is not the same as praising God. They obviously overlap, but they can be different. Praising God could be about him being, and Jesus being, the phenomenal creator and sustainer of the universe. Number three, define confession. Confession is my agreement with God about my specific sins being sin. And don't just make it a generalization thing. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. That's okay. However, if you say, Father, forgive me because I did this specific thing, that changes how you pray. Why should you make your request to God? Well, some of the reasons are listed here. Because he loves me. Because we don't have, because sometimes we don't ask. Because we have spiritual and physical needs. And because God wants us to pray and he'll give us the desires of our hearts. Number five is an exercise where you circle, where you do your praying for six straight days. It's just 2.5 minutes each day for each of these. Praise, thanksgiving, confession, and request. It's just a little discipline there to help you get it programmed into your life. Page 30. What biblical examples do we have of people who prayed? Adam and Eve, men in the days of Seth, Moses, Hannah, Samuel, David, Daniel, Paul, Jesus. Where should you pray? Everywhere. How should I pray? Which ones were most meaningful to you from page 25? You obviously have to answer that. I can't do that for you. Whom should you pray to? And whom should you not pray to? Primarily, you pray to the Father, but you can pray, obviously, to Jesus or the Spirit. But never, never, never pray to an idol or anyone else alive or dead. Number 10, pick which body positions, which postures for prayer would be new for you, and try them. 11, what should I pray for from page 25? Which of these will you add to your prayers? You can answer that. Why are some prayers hindered or unanswered? Well, wrong motives, unforgiving spirits, sin, or husbands, mistreating your wives. 13, the prayers of the upright are God's delight, and the prayers of the disobedient are an abomination to God. 14, why can denials to prayer requests, why can denials be good? Well, it could be God protecting us. That's happened to me, I'll tell you, multiple times, and I'm so thankful. Number 15, why can delays in answers to prayer be good? Well, they can perfect us and or prepare us for God's answer. And number 30, personal thought-provoking question that I really want you to answer. What changes to your prayer life have you made because of this lesson? It may be better worded. What changes to your prayer life have you made because of what God teaches in answer to, Lord, teach us to pray? So that's the end of lesson 2, prayer.